Hi, everyone. You are listening to Passion to Profession podcast. I'm your host, Ash, bringing you inspiring stories of people who have followed their passion to create their own path to success. So before I proceed, I just wanted to share with you that we have just completed about 11 episodes so far, and the podcast has received more than 250 downloads as of now. So I am so grateful to all the 250 of you who have been supporting my podcast. And this is very inspiring to me, and I hope that it is to you as well. So thank you so much, my listeners, and I really appreciate you. All right, coming to this particular episode, I have a special guest today. Her name is Betty Kemper, who is a certified career coach from IPEC, and she is passionate about helping corporate women, mostly those who are in director or vice president roles, transition over to their dream careers. Her corporate clients include IT companies like Google, retail companies, entrepreneurs, health industry professionals, just to name a few. Betty, I am so glad you're here with us today. Thank you for joining.
Ash, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure, Betty. I'm super excited to get to know you further as well. I know that we just recently connected on LinkedIn, so would love to hear a bit more about, you know, your backstory on how you started and your initial years of life and career.
Sure, I'm happy to share. You gave me a nice intro there, so thank you. As you said, I'm an executive career change coach, and so I really specialize in helping mid to senior level executives transition out of unfulfilling jobs and into roles that they love. So a little about my backstory. Before becoming an executive career coach, I was a corporate communications manager for over a decade. And I worked mostly at a variety of corporate retail headquarters. For a hot minute, I was in the healthcare industry. But you know, what I always say is during that time, I feel like I was struggling with what I would call a case of the shoulds, right? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, my college major was communication. So I naturally followed a career in corporate communications, right? That's what I should do. My dad, who I looked up to, he was a corporate HR executive. And so in my brain, I always wanted to go after some kind of a corporate career, right? So what I ended up finding though for me, for myself, is that I would get settled in a company and I would tell myself, you know, this is it. This is your dream role. I mean, I worked at some really cool companies and I wouldn't be happy. Something felt off. It was almost like I was like a square peg in a round hole and I couldn't put my finger on it. But that is really the start of this kind of that small voice within me telling me something's off, right? So I would switch companies. And the joke that I would make with my friends and my colleagues is that I was incredible in between companies, in between jobs, right? So like the interviewing, the branding myself, negotiating, I was so good at that part, but then I would land the job and it would be like a balloon deflating, right? It was kind of like, I feel like I was essentially white knuckling it through that career path. And it wore me down after a while. But over time, eventually what I started to tap into was one of my superpowers, which is reading and research. I'm crazy with reading and research. So I probably have every book under the sun on how to find your passion and career change.
Is it? I might need to borrow a few from you then.
I have in my past, Ash, I've taken pictures of my bookshelves just for people that are looking for book ideas. So I'd be happy to text you a picture.
Absolutely.
But that's how I started to uncover like, okay, what I'm doing doesn't fit. What should I be doing? And every assessment I took, all of the different books I read, all signs were pointing to career coaching. And that is really how I started to discover, upon deep introspection, I feel most alive when I'm helping other people find their passion, nail an interview, get their dream job. That's when I feel alive. And so that's how I got into this path of career coaching. And now I have a full-time thriving career coaching practice. And that's all I do all day long is help other women figure out what they're passionate about and then move them into it.
That's amazing. you took action on it, which is the hard part, because I can understand when you say that there was a case of shoulds, and that's how most of us are, like, you know, tuned to think that, okay, you have done such a degree. So then very next step is for you to find a job in that particular specialization, whatever you have studied under. And it is a case of shoulds. And that's how we follow most of the time. And when we pause and think what really ignites us and what we are passionate about, even though it might be totally different from what we just studied or what we were like programmed to think, it's just amazing because it fits very naturally. And if you play to your strengths, it's so amazing that things just aligns beautifully. And the hard part is knowing what it is and taking action on it, which you did. So did you have like a turning point or like an awakening moment in your corporate career? I know you mentioned you had like a decade of corporate experience. Any particular situation that kind of triggered you to deviate from that path? Or was it like just a gradual progression of how things shaped out for you?
Yeah, really good question. And honestly, I will tell you, I feel like it was a combo of both of those things. So part of it was a natural progression, but then I also did have that light bulb moment. So with the progression of things, I mean, it was 10 years in the making of getting worn down. I definitely had some incredible bosses, but I also had some toxic bosses. And yeah. I was a part of some toxic company cultures, and I felt a lot of pressure to be somebody that I wasn't, to be this loud extrovert in a corporate setting, when in reality, I'm an INFJ, for those that are familiar with Myers-Briggs. I crave one-on-one working with people. So that was a slow build, but eventually there came a time where I got laid off. And I will tell you, that was one of the best blessings that could ever happen to me. It forced me to acknowledge what I knew deep down all along, that I'm not in my right fit. And it also posed this kind of realization for me that, you know what, maybe I don't want to go back into what I've been doing for the past decade. And it really gave me this freedom and this space to explore what would be the right fit for me. I didn't even allow myself to consider that before. So that's really what triggered me to say, oh my gosh, you know, I bought every book, I took every assessment, I journaled, I examined my job history, right? Like, what got me into it?
And I like the way you mentioned how getting laid off, you actually thought so positive that you viewed that as a blessing, right? That's a great lesson for anybody listening, that any kind of setback can actually be a blessing if you think about it the right way. It just gave you the freedom and space to do what you really were meant to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, otherwise it was kind of like being a hamster on a hamster wheel, right? I kept showing up, doing the same thing, expecting different results, but doing the same thing. And this was almost like a jolt to allow me to just like take a minute and to reflect. And side note, you know, I used my severance. I know a lot of people obviously use their severance as kind of, you know, their buffer and their safety, and you should, but also I took a big portion of that, and instead of kind of clinging to it from a place of fear, I invested it into a coaching program so that I could get certified to become a coach and move into my dream role. So I didn't just use it as, you know, fear, and cling to it. It's like, no, wait, what can I do to invest in myself to build a path forward?
That's fantastic, Betty. Okay. And once you got certified and you started off, how did you, you know, how was the initial few years when you were building up your career coaching practice? Did you ever kind of regret about quitting corporate, or was it like a fun learning experience in building your own book of business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, and I can only speak for myself, of course, obviously, but I never regretted it. I never looked back. And you're right, it's all perspective. And my perspective was, and this is part of where I was certified for coaching, IPEC, the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching. And one of the things that really stuck with me from that program was, I either win or I learn. I either win or I learn. So there's no losing. There's no failing. Every time I had a hiccup with my business, it was like, ooh, what did I learn? What did I learn from that? And it became this kind of like exciting adventure. Now, side note, what I will also say for some of your listeners that it, that maybe this seems like a really huge leap to just leap right into something you love. I mean, I was very strategic about it. So don't get me wrong. I didn't just say, oh, you know, peace out corporate America. I'm building a business. I found a, what I call a bridge job. So, you know, I took another role that was still in communication, but it was not as stressful. It was not as toxic. I didn't have to work as many hours. I wasn't leading a huge team. And it allowed me nights and weekends to chip away at the dream role. So after, you know, 9 months or so, I had built up my business enough that I felt good about taking the leap.
That's a great piece of advice, because normally if we do tend to think that there's success waiting on the other side as soon as we quit the corporate job, then that would be a bad move. I do think that no matter how strong your vision may be, no matter how passionate you are about pursuing a certain path, there has to be a plan, there has to be a strategy, a way to get there, right? And I feel in many ways a certified career coach would help when it comes to that, because even though I feel most of us already have a fair idea of what we want, but giving it a clear vision, making those goals accountable, hand-holding whenever required, I feel that those are certain things that only a certified coach can help with.
Absolutely. You know, and I always say to everybody, you know, to my clients, even coaches need coaches. I have an incredible coach. Right. So if you need that extra layer of accountability, and also, you know, there's so many different specific, you know, niche in each coaching, you know, field that you can find someone that has already been there, done that, and they've created a path to get you where you want to go. And all you need to do is show up and do the work.
Exactly. So do you have a signature program that you offer as part of your services, Betty? I'm wondering if you could share like details of what exactly you offer, so that, you know, if any of the listeners are interested in making a switch, then possibly they might be open for considering this kind of a program.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have created a step-by-step, and I did specifically, again, I'm pretty niche, I think, with who I work with. So I designed this program for this, you know, specific clientele that I work with.
Yeah.
So she's been very successful in the corporate world, but she's unfulfilled and she lacks passion and something is off. Now, before I just created this program, you know, what I will say is the way I created it was examining why are these successful women, including myself back in the day, why do we stay stuck, right? Why do we stay stuck in these types of roles? Why don't we take action? And what I found is it's usually three things, and it's usually a combo of these things. First, it's, you know, I see clients that will trap themselves in bad jobs with limiting beliefs or other self-sabotaging thoughts. So that's the first thing I see is why people stay stuck. The second thing is they don't have clarity on what type of role would bring them happiness. So that's the other reason people stay stuck is, well, if I don't do this, what would I do? I don't want to just jump ship. And then the third reason is they don't understand how to build a bridge to get themselves there, even once they do get that clarity. So that's really how I design my program. Mm-hmm. And I call it the Career Bliss Coaching Program. It's a 5-step formula to get you from I'm stuck and I'm unfulfilled to now I'm in this role that I love. And that's really the backstory of how I created it. So a little about the 5 steps. Step one is what I call overcoming self-sabotage. So this is where, you know, I'm working with my clients on, you know, helping them learn to get out of their own way. That's, you know, the step one. I know a lot of people want to breeze over this step and just, oh, let's just get to the resume and the marketing. It's like, whoa, wait.
Yes. Yeah.
You're holding yourself back. And that's the thing is that we have to figure out, we have to nip it in the bud how, you know, you're subconsciously holding yourself back, because if you're not in a headspace where once you do see that brass ring, you know, or what I call the dream job, if you're not in the right headspace, you're not going to have the courage to reach out and grab it, right? So we could do all the work in the world and you could figure out, oh yeah, this should be my dream role. But if we haven't figured out the self-sabotage, you're not going to reach out and grab it. So that's step one. Step two is then getting clarity on your dream role. So, you know, what I always tell my clients is this, at least the process that I work through with people, it's not just about what's next. Let me just get my next job. That is not what I do with people. This is like a chess game. This is about mapping out your long-term career strategy. So you know, that's part two of this process, is uncovering what will truly make you feel fulfilled and passionate for years to come. Because my goal is, and this is what I saw happen for me, is that by the end of step two, you've selected a career that makes you want to fling off your covers on a Monday morning because you truly can't wait to get to work. Like, yeah. It's just in your blood. And what I tell people is, if that's not happening for you now, you're in the wrong career, because it should be happening for you. And so that's part two, is examining every part of what makes you who you are, your strengths, the job skills that you love to do, your personality type, your values. There are so many intricate parts of what makes you who you are. And based on that, we come up with your career non-negotiables, and we cross-reference that with what I call are your career best bets. So the best type of career that you could possibly be in for who you are. And we actually run through a scorecard and tally what's your highest score based on your career non-negotiables. And that's usually the light bulb moment for people about, okay, this is it. I can get behind my choice. So that's part two. Part three in the five steps is what I call launching your personal brand revolution. So, you know, now you've chosen your choice. Now you know what's next. And this is about, okay, now you have to stand out from the sea of applicants. And it's kind of like a career choose your own adventure story. I have some clients that want to go into a different corporate role, and that's great, right? Then we get into creating a targeted and ATS friendly resume, you know, rebranding your LinkedIn, having an elevator pitch, a disruptive cover letter. It could be an element of thought leadership. But then I have other clients that want to build out their own business. I have a lot of clients that want to build coaching businesses. So this is really where we launch your personal brand and we tailor it towards the direction you're heading in. Step four is, again, for my clients that are moving into their next corporate role, secret networking strategies. So this is the part where I see people that don't, you know, seek out help. This could be the tough part, is just getting your foot in the door. It's, you know, not just about apply online.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they were saying even before COVID, there was 250 applicants per role online. And now we see that number drastically increasing. So step four is about, you know, 80% of jobs are landed through networking. And that's so nebulous. And I think people know, they're like, oh yeah, I need to network. But it's like, do you understand how to network, right? So this is where I give my clients scripts and, you know, walk them through the steps. Part five in the five-step process is simply interviewing and negotiating like a pro, right? So getting into the hiring manager's head so that you can come across the right way during an interview, and then negotiating strategies. Again, I know a lot of people know, like, oh yeah, I should negotiate, but they don't quite understand how and how to prep for that so that they're not scrambling once they get the offer. So those are the five steps that I walk my clients through.
I would think that that's like a holistic view. It's not just about interviewing and negotiating. That's it. It's not about just about the resume. It looks like you will take them through right from uncovering what their fears are, as you said, you know, the sabotage part and the clarity part, and breaking it into smaller steps and help them overcome the fear, getting the clarity, and then building a personal brand. So it's not just about how to clear an interview. So I think it's like an overall personal branding thing, which is absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. And I, you know, to your point too, Ash, is where it's interesting. Sometimes where I see clients show up and come to me is they have started with step three. They went straight to the resume. Oh, let me do my resume and my LinkedIn. But then all of a sudden they realize, wait a second, I need to have a targeted resume. Even if you work with a resume writer, the resume writer wants to know, what are you targeting? And what I see some people, you know, come to the realization is, you know what? I'm not sure. I don't exactly know what I want to target. So they will double back and come to me and say, listen, help me get that clarity before I go all in to my next role.
It makes sense because, you know, it's not like it's not a spray and a pray policy. It's not like you just apply everywhere and then just keep your fingers crossed. That's not how it works. Unfortunately, job market is so competitive. And I am in a very similar field as well. So I have been in HR for over 10 years. So I know how things work. I'm a certified career coach as well. So I agree 100% when you say that it's not just about applying and then just hoping that your resume gets noticed, right? There is just so much power in networking that we tend to overlook. So that was a really good piece that you have that included as part of your coaching services.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, and it's interesting. It feels like you're getting a lot done when you sit home and you apply. And, oh, I did 10 applications today. But if you look at statistically when, and you know this from your line of work, the roles that come through that are from an online application versus a referral or some form of networking, it's such different results. I mean, it's 80% of roles coming in through networking. So it's just, I like to make sure my clients are spending their time on where they're actually going to get the traction. Absolutely.
Yeah. So as a career coach, Betty, what would be your best piece of advice for job seekers during this time, especially during pandemic situation? You know, we have never faced such a thing before. So, you know, there's a big shift happening. So what would be your advice for people who are in the job market during this time on how to find their dream job?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what I would say is a couple things. It's, you know, obviously virtual networking right now is key. Virtual network. It's not like we're going to, you know, these in-person networking events. So it's learning how to virtually network in a way that comes across from a place of service, from a place of curiosity, from a place of building relationships, so that people don't feel inauthentic or, you know, so that's a skill, virtual networking, virtual interviewing. Same thing. I think, you know, in our minds, we think, oh yeah, it's an interview. I just show up and I do the interview the same way I always would. Well, it's different. I mean, you have to learn to speak to the camera lens so that's your eye contact, you know, your background, the colors you're wearing, like all those things go into how you come across on a virtual interview. You know, and we talked about already how, you know, networking was important in the past. Now it's times 10 as important as it ever was with how competitive the job market is. And so, you know, I guess what I would say to people, two things is one, you know, I know right now is a scary time. Yeah. Especially I'm definitely working with some people coming off layoffs and it's scary. But what I would say is it's the short term game, and it's perfectly okay to grab a bridge job and pay your bills. Right. Mm-hmm. But don't give up on the dream. Don't allow, you know, the panic or allow yourself to sink into a place of fear and say, you know, well, let me just stick to this kind of, it feels almost like a false sense of security. So a bridge job is fine, pay your bills, survive, but keep chipping away at the long-term strategy, the thing that's going to make you happy. And part two is just that job seeking is a skill. This is not something that I would recommend you just wing it. Seek out some professional help. It's important to brand yourself the right way and to understand how to get your foot in the door. You know, it's not the same kind of a job seeking environment that we had even a couple months ago. So the same kind of strategies don't work. Yeah. So seek help.
Yeah. And things have taken a big shift. What I'm noticing, you know, even on the corporate side, there's a big shift in the way we do interviews and the interview process itself. There was there's no more in-person or on-site interviews, and it's all hiring decisions are now being made based off of a video call. The job seekers need to be comfortable in front of the camera. You know, they have to be their best, even in a video call situation. And yeah, orientations are done online, everything pretty much. And companies are becoming more and more relaxed about the work from home policy as well. So, right? And there is a big shift that's been happening because of the situation. And I like the way you put that as, you know, it's okay to take a bridge job, because otherwise it's overwhelming. It's very intimidating. If you are laid off, you know, and if you have to find a dream job as a very next step, it's a huge leap. And sometimes it might hinder, just having a big goal in front of you may want you not to start on it at all, you know, just lay back. And so instead of that, go step by step. It's okay to take a bridge job, you know, go from survive to thrive, not just take the big leap right away, right? So
yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, to your point, one of the first things, you know, especially if somebody gets laid off, or even if they don't, it's, you know, I like to have people work through, and I did this too, is you have to figure out your finances and your budget and how much you have in savings. And everybody has a different risk tolerance or risk threshold. And you have to figure out, what do I feel safe and secure and comfortable with before I make a leap, right? Is that 6 months of, you know, income? Like, what does that look like for me? And we all have a different financial runway. If you have a shorter financial runway, then of course, take that bridge job and build yourself up until it's time to go. But there's a strategy. There's a way that you can build this out and just chip away step by step, instead of feeling that overwhelm, like, oh my gosh, it's too big. It's too great of a goal. I should just give up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Has this pandemic situation kind of changed your working style in any way in terms of coaching? So is your coaching style also now more or less like virtual? How has your working style changed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll be honest, it hasn't affected the way that I work too much, only because I have always worked 100% remote. Mm-hmm. So all my clients are virtual. That has stayed the same. Of course, I've seen some more focus on some people coming out of layoffs, right? So that's instead of just this, you know, going after the dream role, a lot of my clients were doing a two-part pillar strategy, which we talked about, right? Get them into a bridge job. I don't want people to feel panicked or run out of money. So a lot of my clients, it's like, yeah, get the bridge job and let's build out the long-term strategy. So, you know, I've seen a lot of that. You know, when this first all happened, I started pushing out a lot of content related to accelerating your job search. And again, I think what I've seen with the hiring freezes that are happening out there, some people think, oh, well, are companies even hiring, and they kind of sit on their hands. And, you know, what I try to emphasize is no. I mean, you still, even if there is a hiring freeze, which there are still tons of companies hiring, I'm getting clients are still getting jobs, first of all. But second of all, let's just make believe that your target company that you want to get into has a hiring freeze. You still need to network. You still need to build those relationships to get your foot in the door. So it's really that emphasis on virtual networking, virtual interviewing. But, you know, again, I have seen that ultimately this kind of life and death situation happening in the world right now is it's getting people to reflect. It's giving them the space to consider what is really important to them. You know, now they're not necessarily having like an hour one-way commute and a 10-hour workday. And a lot of people don't want to go back to that. So they are reconsidering, what do I want long-term?
Yeah. So in many ways, it can be a good thing too, because this is like a forced break in life where you can just pause, reflect, and see what's going on. And this can be more like an opportunity to do anything. Like, it's the best time to invest in self-improvement, right? And figure out what you're really passionate about. So in many ways, it's a much needed break for many people. That's how I think of it.
Absolutely. And listen, I have nothing against watching Netflix right now and like catching up on stuff like that. But this is the time for us to really, it is exactly what you said. It's forced. It's almost like forced introspection. Like, we it takes you out of that go, 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 go. And you're on the hamster wheel. It's like, you can actually stop and reflect and ask yourself, what do I really want? Do I want to go back to that? You don't have to.
Of course, there's just this lot of negativity, panic, and stress. But at the same time, I do see a lot of positivity as well. It's kind of building or bringing that humanity together. And at the same time, you know, when it comes to networking, what you said about networking makes perfect sense. We may not need anybody's help as of now, but you can never go wrong with networking. You need to network continuously, you know, build these relationships. And, you know, there might not be any ulterior motive or benefit, but at the same time, just building up these genuine connections, you can never go wrong with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Absolutely. And you don't want to find yourself in a situation ever, whether or not there's a pandemic, whether or not you've been laid off. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where all of a sudden you need something and then you reach out to someone you haven't talked to in 2 years and say, hey, right, can I get your help with XYZ? You want to have these relationships that over time you've planted these seeds, you're watering the seeds. And to your point, it's not always about what can I get out of this person? It's coming from a place of service, coming from a place of curiosity, you know, just it's building relationships over time so that when there does come a point at which where you're like, oh, here's my list of top 10 target companies, right? Potentially somebody in your network knows someone that can work there and they're happy to make that introduction for you.
That is some wonderful insight there about, you know, you don't have to have like an motive immediately, but just continue. And this might be a perfect time to do that because we have all the time right now. So
people are home. This is, they're much more likely to respond to you now than when they're in the go, go, go of, you know, the corporate job.
Yeah, today. Exactly. All right. So moving to the next segment of the podcast, what I call a rapid fire round, which means just a few questions, Betty, to know you more at a personal level. Okay.
Love it.
So the first thing is, tell us something about you that no one knows yet and which is not found on any of your social media profiles.
I love that question. You know, something that I have really fond memories on that isn't plastered all over my social media profiles. And again, I'm relating it back to the career changing and the finding yourself is that after I graduated from college, I quit my job. I was working at a title company and I moved abroad to Costa Rica by myself. And I did. And I stayed there for many months until I ran out of money and I had to come home. But that was part of my journey.
How was Costa Rica?
Oh my gosh. I can't wait until the day we can start traveling again. I mean, I just remember I lived by the beach. There were monkeys. It was such cool people. I mean, it was the rainforest. I mean, it was such a cool adventure.
Yeah. And talking about vacation right now is making me miss all of that. Might need to wait for a long time to go.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So next question, best source of inspiration.
Yeah, so good. I mean, I love reading. So I do a ton of reading. I take a lot of courses online, whether it's on, you know, career change for my clients or, you know, building up my arsenal or improving my business. But something else that's kind of fun is sometimes what I'll do in the morning when I wake up is I'll get onto YouTube and I will search for, you could search either guided meditation or you could search for guided visualization. And I just plug in my headset. There are some really powerful visualizations where you can tap into answers within yourself that you didn't even know you had. So that's kind of a fun way for me to start my morning sometimes.
Okay, that's very interesting. I have noticed some of these meditation videos and even those that if you have trouble sleeping, I think there are many videos on YouTube that has this soothing music and all that. But visualization I have not really observed. So maybe I should go check it out.
Yeah, there's some really cool, I mean, I could send you some links, but there are some really cool ones out there where you, one that I like to send my clients, you meet a version of your future self, the person that you want to become, and that version of your future self typically has answers for you that, you know, you typically know deep down the first step you need to take. Some of these meditations are really cool ways to tap into that.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually, it might be the answer for my next question, or I'm not sure. So if you have any other habits, so that was my next question, Betty, that what is one habit that you had to learn and incorporate in your routine that has significantly impacted your success? Anything that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the, you know, and the way I live my life is the same way that I coach my clients. It's a mixture of internal. So like what I was talking about with the meditations and things like that, internal, but it's also external strategy. I'm a very step-by-step person. So for me, something that I've done that's really improved my business, it got me to six figures in my first year of business, is on Sunday, I treat my business like you would treat working in a corporate company. So Sunday is when I plan my week. And instead of having this long to-do list, which you can have as an entrepreneur, it's like, oh, I got to do this, this, this. Instead, I take that and I time block what I want to get done directly into my calendar. And so that way, all the things I'm time blocking, I can reflect and make sure that the time that I'm spending all leads back to my annual and my quarterly business goals.
And if it's on the calendar, you can never miss it.
Absolutely.
To-do list, yeah, we do tend to write it out, but then many times not all of the things that on the list gets done. But if it's on the calendar, I'm sure it's much more productive.
Yeah, I always say, if you don't schedule it, it isn't real. If you don't schedule it, it isn't real. If it sits on a to-do list, it's just there on your to-do list. Our to-do list can go on forever.
That's right. That's right. All right. Last question, which is my signature question. What's your best advice for anyone who is following their passion and who would want to convert it into a professional success story?
So good. Yeah. So what I would say, and this is coming from my own experience, this is coming from the clients that I'm coaching and what I see people struggling with, is do not let the fear stop you. People think that because they are afraid of going after their passion, that it means stop. And it's actually the opposite of that. You will never stop feeling uncomfortable as long as you continue to grow. So I want you to think about fear as your green light. There's an awesome book that I read. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways. Feel the fear and do it anyways.
Awesome. I've heard of that.
So good. I use those concepts with my clients all the time. And that's what I would like to leave your listeners with, is fear is not a sign to stop. It means that you're growing. So keep going.
That's so wonderful, Betty. Thank you so much for sharing all that. I'm sure it would be very helpful, because, and it's a very common reason, right? Fear of failure, fear of rejection. You know, it's like the number one reason that we would hesitate to go after our dreams. But if that is, it's not a red light, if it is not to be seen as a red light, but as a green light, that's fantastic. That would be like a trigger for actually, you know, use that as a springboard to action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It means you're on to something. So keep going.
Makes so much sense. So thank you so much. I think I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too, Ash. Such a pleasure. I love the work that you're doing. Congratulations on all your podcast listeners. And I have definitely been enjoying your podcast myself.
So that was my guest, Betty Kemper, talking about her passion of helping corporate women, especially those who are in director or vice president roles, transition over to their dream careers. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Please don't forget to leave a rating and a review on iTunes. I will be back soon with another power-packed episode, another inspiring guest. And thank you so much for listening in. Bye for now.